See you all again. I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to be a part of all that we're talking about, this great mission, this enterprise that John spoke of this morning. If you weren't here this morning, you missed a very good message, several very good messages. I'm honored to speak in this conference, to speak along with all these preachers. If you don't know that some of these preachers like Brent Riggs and Bill Kincaid and Joe West, who isn't here, he's in Poland right now, and if you don't know Adrian and all these different ones, you ought to get to know them. They're really quite something. They really are. I grew up around them, and I know most of their war stories. I was there when they happened. I would go out with them. I was a little brat that tagged around with them, and I know some of the things that happened. I've seen it. I'm a witness to their faithfulness, and they are faithful. If you want to know if you're sinning, if when you give an offering to these guys, if you're giving it to someone who deserves it, they deserve it. I've been there, and I've seen them preach all by themselves, day in and day out. I remember when we were there with Bill, and my great-grandmother died, and so everyone went to the States, and Bill stayed there and took care of all of us, all the missionary kids. He took care of us all, and everyone else was gone. His wife was gone, everyone was gone, and he preached morning and night, and he never missed. They're worthy of your support. They really are. I've been there. I'm a witness to their spirituality. I really am. They are spiritual men. I'm honored to work with them. I'm a witness to their courage. I've been there when they're telling Bill with an automatic rifle that he can't pass out tracks, poking him in the gut with it. And he says, I'm going to pass out tracks. I've been there when they've been hit with bottles, when they've had bricks thrown at them, when they've been completely doused with water out in the street. I've been there when they've held guns to their heads, tell them they can't keep preaching, and they turn around and they keep right on going. These men have courage. These are real men. They are worthy of your support. I am honored to be part of it. I'm honored to be down there. I'm honored to have learned to preach from them. I'm honored by these men. You know, I'm honored to be a preacher. I really am. I'm honored to be called and chosen and sent by God as an ambassador. I magnify my office. I don't come up here saying, yeah, well, I'm honored to be chosen to be a preacher. I'm honored. And you know, it is an honor. It really is. My mother read the verse this morning, and it says that the world was not worthy of those men of God spoken in Hebrews. And you read some of those men, and granted, they are mentioned there in faith, and yet I look and I see that the men I work with, they could almost be in that chapter. They really could. They could almost be in that chapter. Some of them, if it was written then, they might have been in those chapters. And so, yes, I'm honored to be a preacher, and it is a great honor. You know, every one of us are kind of like Moses. We would to God that every one of you could be sent. That everyone, we could just transport this church down into Mexico. It'd be great. We wish that every one of you would be foreign evangelists. It'd be great. It really would. But you know, for every one of us who gets to go, there's about 30 who have to stay. That's just the way it is. For every one of us who gets to go, there's about 30 who must stay behind. And you know, because you stay and you work and your time is limited in where you can serve God because you're working, well, you may begin to feel, and you actually may be looked on by others who have the privilege of working full-time for God as lazy, or faithless, or fearful, or useless, or selfish, or dishonored. But you know, that's not true. It's not true at all. And if any one of us has ever given that impression, from the bottom of my heart, I can say that is not our feeling towards this church, or any one of you in this church. It really is not. I would like you to read a verse with me before we get started. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 22, says, Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial of those that went with David and said, Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us, and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as is his part that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. No, David, he has this battle. They get to the city, and the Philistines get to the city, and they destroy the city. They take all their wives. They take everything they have. And David gets back and sees it, and they start crying, and they get mad, and they go to battle. And some of the people with him, a couple hundred of them, don't go. They get so far and they stay behind. And regardless of the reasons, that's not what I want you to see tonight. It's this ordinance that he set down. When the ones that continued on in the battle and came back with the stuff, they had the spoils and they said, we're not giving you guys that stay behind anything because we fought and you guys stayed behind with the stuff. You guys tarried behind. We went to battle. We're keeping it all. And David set down an ordinance. Regardless of their motives, regardless of the reason why they did this, he set down an ordinance. Those that go to battle get the equal reward with those that stay behind and tarry by the stuff. They part equally. And there's a reason for this. Because anybody who's ever been in the armed forces, anybody that's ever heard a message using the example or the allegory of an army, you know you cannot win a battle by yourself. And so those that tarry behind, those that pull kitchen duty in the army, they rejoice over the victory won as much as the people on the front lines. And this is what David is saying. He's saying, you are evil and wicked men. Those that go to battle get the same equal part and reward with those that stay behind. You know, I get the honor of going to the battle in Mexico. And it is an honor. And I'm honored to do it. And yet, I'm honored to be here with you that stay behind and tarry by the stuff. There are some virtues, some very important virtues that every one of you that tarry by the stuff exercise and embody that I would like to touch on and explain to you why it is that even though you have never gone into Mexico, physically maybe, even though you have never been a part of a foreign evangelism effort and the spearhead, we should say, on the front lines, you are worthy of an equal reward of everyone that you support here. Everyone that you have prayed for. Worthy of an equal reward for staying behind and tarrying by the stuff. There's some reasons why. One is your dedication. This church is dedicated. It really is. Any church that will send that much money, that much interest, send their own children and their family members for that long, for over 20 years, for this work, that is dedication. The dedication that you have to be able to hold down a job and support your family and support my family and 8 other families on the mission field and still support this church. That requires dedication. That makes you worthy of an equal reward. Amen. The generous offerings you guys give month after month after month, year after year after year, your dedication. You know, there's another thing, another virtue that you guys embody, that you exemplify is generosity. Just generosity. Then when we come up here and you feed us and you take care of us and you house us, and it must not be easy. Because I know how I was when I was a kid. I don't think I'm near as bad as the stories I heard today, but I know how I was when I was a kid, and, you know, I know how my kids are. Why do you think I didn't bring them this time? But you know, you give us homes, and you give us meals, and you support us. You're just generous people. I wish that our churches in Mexico could understand generosity the way you have understood generosity. I'm sad to say that despite the way that they are so given over to preaching, and they are. I mean, we got what, 11 preachers in Querétaro out of a church of about 70. We're talking about over 1/10 of the people in that church preach the gospel on the streets. Women, you got 6-7 women in Querétaro go out door knocking once a week and giving out tracts. Out of a church of 70, we're out of all that, but they don't know how to give. And they can. I'm so sick of hearing, well, we don't have any money. Because I look out on you and I don't see people with money, and yet you give and you support so many families and you do it so well. Generosity. You are worthy of an equal reward because you tarry by the stuff. You know, your maturity. I would assume, because I know some of you, I know a lot of you, and I know that Christianity is more than just Sunday mornings, especially those of you that are here Sunday nights. And I know that when you hear things going on in other countries, the work, the blessings, that you just kind of want to go to. Just think, man, I would like to be. I'd like to be part of that. And yet, your maturity, your sense of responsibility, you know, but I'm not called, and so I'll stay. You know, you aren't the gung-ho warrior punk types, you know, I think you got to be covered in blood to be doing something for God. I think you gotta be floating down the Amazon little canoe to think that, you know, I'm a real warrior for God. You understand that there's war here. You understand that there is a necessity for you here. And your maturity and your sense of responsibility, and you stay and you do what you need to do and you tarry by the stuff. And you're worthy of an equal reward. You know something? Another one of these virtues is your courage. Your courage. Jesus says that there is no prophet without honor except in his own country. You know, in Mexico, regardless of how we're seen as Americans, we do receive a great deal of honor. We really do. Us, the American evangelists in Mexico, receive a great deal of honor from lost and saved. I have men coming up to me, older men coming up and asking me, they aren't even saved, they don't know me, but they see me preaching, they see an American, they come up asking me marriage advice. And I send them to Adrian. I send everyone to Adrian. See, I tell Adrian, you be the pastor and I'll be the preacher. It works out real well. And so people come up and say, hey, Michael, what do you think about this? I say, oh man, that sounds good. You know, and I'm their buddy. And I say, but you ought to go talk to Adrian about that. And he might have another opinion. They go over there and then Adrian gets to tell him, no, you dummy. And then they come back. You know what? I cry right here, you poor guy. I know Adrian's a mean man, yes. You didn't know that, did you? But your courage to stay here where, and you know, I've preached here a little bit, and it's not easy here. When we went to San Luis Potosí and started preaching, the first 4 months, 5 months, I would draw a crowd of about 600 people. And it wasn't because I was a great preacher, I don't want you, it was because I was American, I was shouting, I was out in front of the main cathedral, and they'd never seen it before. And the clown, they have these mimes there, and they're doing their clown stuff, and they have all these people, and we'd get there and preach, and whew, we'd just draw them all. It felt so good. Just get all the crowd from them, and they were so mad at us. And you know, when I preach here in front of the Alamo, and there's quite a different effect. You know, it's like, whew! It's like when the Aggie gets in the swimming pool, you know, everyone just, whew, gets out. And the courage you have to do that, you're worthy of an equal reward. Don't let anybody tell you different. Your faith. The faith it takes. The faith that it will take to send all your money down there to people you don't know. For people you don't know. So, to help fortify your faith, and because no one stays for the slideshows after, I'm going to show it to you right now. I want you to see the people you are winning. No, you're not there. You didn't preach to them, but you sent us, and you allow us to be there. And these are the spoils of war that I want you to see. Turn off the other light, please. Yeah, they're spoiled. No, I'm joking. This is one of the men I'm privileged to work with, Brother Adrian. Amen. You will not meet a more faithful man in the ministry. Very faithful. Spirit of humility has taught me a great deal. This is Sister Marty. She is also very faithful. She's also my best student in my preaching class. I told her, when you come up here, you preach it. You pound on the pulpit, you run the aisles, you jump a few chairs. So, you know, very faithful sister. Honored to work with her. This is us. Terry said to say hi. Those are my boys. They're cute. Look like their dad. This is Brett Neva. I met him about 6 years ago in San Luis. He was an American. He was saved, but he just moved to Mexico. Decided he wanted to learn Spanish, so he just moved to Mexico. And he heard us preaching, and we convinced him to start using the King James Bible and start using the good Spanish Bible. And he's kind of been following us around ever since, and now he's preaching. He's the one that taught this morning in Sunday. This Sunday morning. And he married a young lady from San Luis Potosí, and he's doing very well. This is Marco. Many of you know him. He works with us also. Very faithful man. He's sent and supported solely out of the church in San Luis Potosí and a few other offerings from other Mexican churches. Right here is the first person we won. That's Julio Coco. We preached on his street. That his street was the second street we preached on in Querétaro. He came out of the tortilleria where he was working, and I talked to him, and a little while later, Adrian led him to the Lord and then his wife. He's been meeting with us ever since. This right here is Victor and Sada. They were originally one in Querétaro, and they moved to San Luis 12 years. Well, I guess it was about 20 years ago, and they ran into my granddad Dale West, who persuaded them that you can't lose your salvation. And then they moved back to Querétaro, and they've been meeting with us, which was a relief, because for about 2.5 years, maybe 3 years, it was them two and the ones we just showed you, Julio and Coco, meeting with us for about 2 years, just four of us. Then this family walked through the park, and we won them. He walked through the park. He was looking for a church. He saw us and sat down. And he's been coming back every Sunday to sit down. He won his family. That's his nephew and stuff. He's won all his family to the Lord, and they're meeting with us now. Excuse me. That was a family that had their house burnt down. The reason why he's holding her like that is because her leg is very badly burnt. This is another lady. We had gone through and preached on her street. She wasn't there, but we had given her neighbor a tract who was a Christian. Her neighbor had been witnessing to her for quite a while. Well, she would never go to his church, so he told her, look, if you're not going to go to my church, go to this church. So he gave her our tract, and she came to our church. And she got saved, and her son is now a preacher. This family right here, Marco won this family. We were preaching on their street. They came out, wanted studies. He gave them studies for over 3 months before they ever come to a meeting. That's every week for 3 months. He went to their house and explained the gospel. They started coming to the meeting, got saved, and got baptized. This right here is a family that started coming to our meetings. They were already saved. They went to the same Lose Your Salvation church as Brett. We're trying to get them out of some of those things. We ask for prayer for them. Right here, these two ladies you see right here in the middle, that's Irene and Narda. They are probably the most faithful members in our church, this family right here. She right there, she was widowed about 5 or 7 years ago, something like that. And she supported almost all those kids all by herself. She's something else. She really is something else. We wish she was a man, we'd make her a preacher tomorrow. Her son, the tall one back there, is her son, and the one right next to him on the right, with the one with the short haircut, them two are preachers. And the tall one is the younger one. We're really looking for him with expectancy to do something later on. This right here is someone they won. This is a lady from one of the places they work. They won her, young lady. This is another family that we won through them, or they were already saved. They had quit going to the church because their church got into that Toronto laughter business. And so they quit their church, told the pastor they couldn't abide by that doctrine. They went out, and we went through and preached on their street, and through the Irene and Narda, we got to talking to them and invite them over, and they've been coming faithfully since then. Their son also preaches. This right here is another family that they've won. The husband is not saved yet. We're giving him study still, but the wife has made profession of faith, and that was Irene and Narda's convert also. Right here, this is Irene, the widow lady I showed you. This is their neighbor, and she won them. So you can see that she won a lot of people. You know, we won her, and then she went out and won a lot of people. And he's one of the men that we really are looking towards to invest some time and effort into, and hopefully he'll be one of the people we'll leave the church with. His name is Jorge, and that's his wife Leti. They had serious trouble. He was a drunk, drinking all the time, and she had drawn up divorce papers and signed them. Just a short time before we went by and talked to them and gave them some Bible studies. And when they got saved, they tore up the divorce papers and they seem to be very happily married since then. These people right here, this is Hugo and Sandra. They were divorced. And he was living with someone else and he was living with another lady. He came through and heard us preaching. We got to give him studies. He left the girl he was living with, remarried his wife, and he's one of our preachers now. This is his sister-in-law that he won. He won her before he was saved. He'd come and hear us preach, and he'd go tell her, you need to do this. And he'd say, well, why don't you do it? Because I'm not sure it's right. You know, we're not real sure just how that works, but it worked. We're not sure we wanted him to get saved. He won more unsaved than he did saved. Because see, he won this family also before he got saved. This is Felix and Blanca. They're his neighbors. He'd come home every night after talking to us and tell and repeat our sermon to him. This right here is a family we're giving studies with. I've been giving studies and talking to that man for over 5 years. He's an ex-seminary student. He had a very bad relationship with his family. He was committing adultery. He left his adultery situation. He's gotten back reconciled with his family, and I'm giving them studies once a week. They're coming to our meetings. So we ask for prayer for them that they get saved. He understands what salvation is better than most Christians. Yeah, he just doesn't want to get saved. We're not sure what his problem is. This right here is our church meeting. This is my father-in-law preaching. He was just there. This is one of the latest meetings I was in. This is where we meet, right under those trees. Right there is another angle of it. That's where we meet. Right here is many of our preachers. There's a couple of them missing, but that's the majority of our preachers are in Querétaro right now. They preach twice a week, the different days sometimes. Depends when they can fit it in, but they preach about twice a week faithfully. Right here is our Sunday school group. Marty wanted me to put this in. There's about 25 people right there. That's our Sunday school group. And there's a picture of the church. The last year we came up, and the picture you got back there is 32 people, including kids on there. Now we have 99 in a year. So the Lord has blessed. Lights, please. The Lord has blessed in Querétaro. And you had a part in it. Those people, they understand that. They wanted me to tell you thank you. Because if you hadn't sent us, we wouldn't have gotten to them. How shall they preach unless they be sent? They have to be sent. And you have sent us. And because you have stayed behind and you've tarried by the stuff and you have pulled your weight here, we've been able to do what we've done. We're not better than you. We haven't done more than you. We wouldn't have been able to do it without you and you without us. That's why I want you to know that I am honored to be amongst you. It's an honor for me to come up here and be part of this church. And we do feel like we're part of this church. The times that one of us might have said, look, we don't think you're doing this right. We don't do it in a critical manner. We consider you our family. We love each one of you and we love this work. We're honored by you. We're honored by your generosity, like I said. We're honored by your self-sacrifice, by your courage, by your faith. And you know, it may not mean a lot here. And you know, there is no great reward right now. I'm not going to hand out plaques at the end of this message. I really am not. No plaques, no money. And you know, there are no plaques in this building. We don't even pass a plate so you get the gratifying feeling of throwing your money in real hard, you know, and then everybody know, I'm the big dog around here, you know. You don't get that. We don't even have faith pledges. Who wants to give $500 to the Lord? You send up, oh, I will. We don't have that. You got a little box in the back and you give your money anonymously, week after week. And it don't seem like anybody notices. But I want you to read a few verses with me before I end. I want you to read in Matthew chapter 6. It says, verse 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, and they have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. You know, you have done a lot of things and a lot for a long time that nobody has ever taken much notice of. When was the last time the pastors came and congratulated you for your giving? I doubt they do. But you know, if they did, that would be your reward. So you have a far greater reward. You have done so much for so long with so little that you will have a reward. Your Father will reward you and He will do it openly. I'd like you to read another verse. Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 11. Verse 12. Then said he also to them that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. The principle here is that you do things for those who can't do them back. And if you do, you will be recompensed by God. And you know, these people, they can't recompense you back. As poor as you might be, they're poor. Believe me, they are. They can do nothing for you back except offer their thanks. But you know, it's not their job to recompense you. God is going to recompense you. And you know, I have seen your faithfulness and giving and prayer and everything you've done, and God will recompense you because you have tarried and behind and stayed with the stuff. Look in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is not unrighteous and He will not forget. You know, sometimes we may forget and we may not write as many letters as we should. I'm definitely guilty and I apologize. However, there's somebody who will not forget. And God will not forget your labor of love. He will not forget all you've done. He will not forget. Look in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 41. It says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. What kind of reward are you going to get? You're going to get the same reward as us. It says, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. The same thing is what David said way back in 1 Samuel chapter 25. Chapter 30, I think. Where he says that you get the equal reward. Those that go to battle get no more than those that stay behind and tarry with the stuff. You received us. And because you received us, you're going to get the same reward as we have gotten. And so what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you to keep on keeping on. Look, it's not in vain. You may not see a lot of reward right now, and you may not see a lot of recompense, or you may not be able to see what we see in Mexico. We see in Mexico tremendous revival. It is very easy for us to keep going, especially now when we're growing, when we're doubling in a year. It's easy for us to keep going. We're seeing this and we're excited, and I don't want to leave. I know I'm going to have to leave, but I don't want to. Where you're sitting over here on the other side of the border and you can't see that. And what you do by faith. And we appreciate it. And we're honored by it.